ones, you see. And we'd have the gooseberries to make the gooseberry cobblers, or the apple trees to make the apple cobblers and apple pies and raspberry pies. And
how many acres did you all have?
About 200.
So you had a lot of land to cultivate, didn't you?
A lot of it. Oh, a lot of it.
Did your grandparents...
And we rented.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents live with you part of the time? Did your grandma...
My grandfather, after my... I'll tell you what. I was born 2 days... I think it was before or after my grandmother died.
Oh, that must have been hard on your mother.
It was, and she sat up there for days and nights, and everything took her turn, you see. And so after she died, well, my father wanted my grandfather to come and live with us. Well, you know, he did for a few years, several years. And then he wanted to go to his little home, little log house. It was two rooms with a little kitchen there. And then I'll come back and sleep. And I can remember sitting on the, front porch, and we'd have these slat chairs, you know, and he'd rock them back against the wall. And there he'd sit. And I'd be in his lap, and I'd comb his hair and his beard. He wore short beard.
Okay.
And then, I don't know how many years later, why he decided to marry. And he married, can't think of her name because I call her Grandma York. Anyway, she was Uncle Sam Burton's mother-in-law. And anyway, we call her Grandma York. And they married. And they lived there for several years till he took sick and died. And then she went back to her daughters, Uncle Sam Burton's.
Was your father the youngest child or the oldest child?
No, middle. That's who he was. Now the youngest child was Clarence Stewart's mother, and the next youngest was Michael Buchanan.
When you're thinking about, you know, that area of the country, what do you remember about the old elections? Like, do you remember presidential elections?
Yes.
What was it like? I've been told so many stories about how election day was so different.
One thing about it is they take their jugs of whiskey. And the older ladies, maybe widows, would take their basket of gingerbread. While that was the case, we kept borders. One old lady, I won't give her name because might come back to
it. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that old lady would come the first night with her basket of gingerbread. Full night is a basket. Big basket full of gingerbread and stay all night. And I don't know how she got over there. Maybe somebody on horseback took her on over there. I don't know. And she went over there to sell that gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much. I imagine a nickel a loaf, I bet anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 cents, but I'd say a nickel. And don't you know, I'd smell that gingerbread all night. But I never was very much for sweet things at that time. I never liked cake much. Never did like cake, like her pie. But I wanted it. I want a cake of that gingerbread so bad that I want it. I just cry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, "Don't you do that. Don't you ask her for that." So I didn't. So anyway, they went on there, and some of them would almost, I guess, get past going over there. They'd have their fights, knockouts,
mm-hmm.
but they never got on all that.
Yeah.
Nobody got killed.
Mm-hmm. Was your people Republican or Democrat? Or both?
I'll tell you not. I'd say my father was a Republican. They might have been. I believe Uncle Hiram was Republican, but I believe he was.
Did they do a lot of discussing of politics in the home, or was it just something that...
In a way, they got along just fine, in a way. But my father was, a strong Republican. And my uncle's a strong Democrat. And they'd get into it now and then, and they'd just laugh it up.
Mm-hmm. They'd like to tease each other, probably. Do you remember anything about early politicians coming to visit in your home? Do you remember, did they lectionary with you? Or did they?
Oh, yeah.
Did they?
Just like they did when
they did.
Come horseback. Well, they're still not with you. Eat your dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, you could sit down and eat. Now, you can't go anywhere.
Everybody is too busy, too, don't you find? Used to, they would spend a whole day just visiting, didn't they?
Why, that's another nice thing we did. We'd have our grilling parties, and we'd have the log rollings. And there the men would come and roll logs until dinner time. And then the women would put them up a quilt, you know, and they'd quilt their quilt out.
Mm-hmm.
And, or if they didn't do that, they'd bring their knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And, what else? And, the main food was chicken and dumplings. Or maybe turkey, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just plenty of everything to eat. Loads of everything to eat and drink.
So many people that I've, you know, interviewed, they'd say that it was nothing to have maybe 40 people to come and eat dinner with. That mm-hmm. the whole neighborhood, you'd say, come and visit, and just everybody would come and spend the day.
Yeah, come on.
And no one worried about it. No, like, I asked, or what did the wife think about that many coming? They said that was just so common
yeah.
that it wasn't anything to her. She had her canned food, she had her smokehouse, and she just cooked it up.
Had her chickens, her eggs,
mm-hmm.
her meat, and just anything, all kinds of meat, chickens, eggs, and their vegetables
mm-hmm.
of any kind, winter or summer.
Can you imagine, though, cooking for 40 people now, how much it costs?
We couldn't afford it.
No, we couldn't afford it.
Take off collection. Yeah. Now, how much do you want in on that dinner? Oh, my.
Did you ever talk with a Civil War veteran? Was there anybody in your family that was in the Civil War?
Yes.
Who was that?
Uncle Jim Poe. And
what was his experience? Who did he find?
And he was a Republican. I'm afraid they're a patient. That's what I mean. His experience was this. He went from, I'd sit in his lap, I'd say, Uncle Jim, tell me about the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg. And he would sit there and tell for an hour at a time. And he was right there in that Gettysburg Battle.
There was so many killed, the wonder he hadn't been killed, wouldn't he?
Yes, I said, how come you don't live to tell the tales about them? But I guess the Lord was with him.
Was he ever shot I mean,
no.
He had no injury?
No injury. Whatever.
Was he in the ward during the whole time?
I don't know how many. I guess he was. I don't know how many years, so I wouldn't know. But there he was.
Was he the only one that you knew of?
No. And then Uncle Jimmy Canute. And his father married my father the same. And Paul Barrett. Uncle Jimmy Canute was another Civil War veteran. And Aunt Surrey was, well, they were our closest neighbors. And Aunt Surrey drew a pension after he died. He died soon. I didn't remember Uncle Jim Canute very well. He was little. But I remembered his wife, Aunt Surrey. She lived for several years. And, then Uncle Harvey Stidham. Now, he was a Democrat. And he didn't draw his pension until in the late years, you know. He was in the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't issue pensions
like
to them right then. As quick as they did the Federals.
Mm-hmm.
They were called Federals and Confederates. So Uncle Jim Canute and Uncle Tom, Uncle Jim Poe, I called them the uncles. You know, old time people made the little ones call them Uncle
and Uncle. As a sign of respect, wasn't it?
And Uncle Harvey stood them. Well, it was three.
Did any of them fight in Kentucky?
Not that I know of. Not that I know.
Was there anything, any story that...
I know of it, but I didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
I know of the Gamble and the Gamble doctors. I think they did some. But not to my knowledge.
Can you remember any story that stood out in your mind that you heard about the Civil War that was of interest? Anything unusual or anything like that?
Well, my grandfather said, told me, you know, I just remember what he said, you know, for he was there and had his family there. They come there and stayed a few days. Well, they just, they killed, his cattle, killed some cattle. And, they, just ransacked his fields of corn and, his gardens, mm-hmm. whatever they wanted.
Now, was this the Federals or the Confederates?
Sir, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But he told me about
mm-hmm.
it.
I just don't remember.
I just
don't
know.
Do you have any ancestors that were in the Revolutionary War?
Well, that's what me and Louise have been trying to gather information about it. And so far, now, on the Burton side, you want the Berry side?
It doesn't matter. Either side.
On the Burton side, I think we go back to Samuel R. And they're connected with Thompson's, Samuel R. Thompson. See, the great-grandfather married a Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
So the Thompson side, I think it'd go back to there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what about the Burton side. No, I don't know what about the Berry side.
Mm-hmm. So you just think that there is, but you haven't actually documented it.
No, I can't. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some later times. What do you remember about the Depression? What do you remember about the 30s? Was it hard times for you, or do you remember it as being just average? You know, that's something that's shocking to me. I have always read where so many people starve to death and things like that. But the people that I've interviewed in Morris County, they said it really wasn't that hard on them. That they grew their own food. They never were without food. So it really wasn't a big deal. It must have been just in the cities.
In the cities.
Mm-hmm. That's where the rough time.
And we have the poor with us always.
Well,
them poor people. Well, they they had to work for their now in my time that we had the poor. Well, they'd come and work for a piece of bacon or a piece of ham or maybe what we call a turn of corn, a sack of corn to make meal. And things like that. No, they nobody starved in my parties.
And even if there was people that you knew all that were poor, probably the neighborhood people went together and helped them.
And helped them. They sure did. They never let anybody starve.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, come on, I'll give you this or give you that. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I never was turned away.
I think that's something nice to reflect on, that the people helped mm-hmm. each other instead of being so disinterested like they are today.
And it seemed to me like, darling, that neighbors got along better than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's the reason you guys ought to go. Men would put on their clean shirts. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they'd have white shirts, maybe. And clean overalls, maybe pants. The women would put on a clean calico dress, white apron, pockets. And some had their pipes, my mother never. Some had their pipes and smoke. And they'd visit mm-hmm. each other for days. Brother, say, I'm coming down to your house tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna eat my dinner. And I said, you get my dinner and I'll and maybe knit you a pair of stockings or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all that.
They would just do for each other and really enjoy each other's company.
They did. And that was daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe nights, but not very often. The older people didn't
gather. And you know, I think another thing that hurts today's people, everybody has to have an outside job to work. And in those days, mm-hmm. most of them worked on the farm, so they could leave when they wanted to.
Yes,
and now we can't leave our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a difference.
And when I was a little girl, we didn't even have a lock on the door. We had a peg, what you call a peg, went through the door, and we have a string there. And you pull that latch string, well, you'd open the door. Mm-hmm. So that's where you learn that, to just open the latch string to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean? And nobody bothered your house.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same way when I was growing up, we never locked our front door. And now you wouldn't think of doing that, going to bed without
that. Yeah, you would.
No, so it really has changed in that way.
It has changed in that way.
What would you consider your most valuable possession? Can you think of a favorite thing that's been handed down to you, or you think of any old book or piece of furniture or whatever that you would hate to part with? Is there something that has,
you mean in my childhood?
Yeah, that has sentimental value that you still have with you. Anything, that you really love to look at or to have near you?
I don't know. See, like what I had then, it's all gone. You see, I had an organ I thought the world of. Well, it pondered around, but it just got torn up and lost and gone.
Did you play the organ?
Yeah, chord. I had to play for the little Springdale church instead of school. It come down to me, which I couldn't do very well, but I played. Mm-hmm. We all sang. And, I can't remember anything. Only my first watch, when I taught my first school, I had a watch, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
My father said that when you teach your first school, I'll get you a gold watch. So that was a treasure. And what happened to that, Arlene tried to restore it, and she put it in a Hughes store,
mm-hmm.
Jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know whether it's destroyed or whether it's saved or not.
You know, you should check on it, because someone told me that they saved some of the things. At first, you know, the story was that they didn't save anything.
Arlene went a time or two, and he said, "Now I'm going to check in on it." So I did. She's been back a time.
Someone else, I can't remember now who it was, told me that they had recovered something that they thought had been burned up.
I tell you one thing, in my little childhood days, was a double slate.
Oh.
We had these little single slates with
wood around
them. Mm-hmm. But no, when you got up in style, you had these double slates.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a colored ring around them, I don't know, made out of rope or something. And you had your slate pencils inside there.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And there I had my long slate pencils. Now that was one time that sometimes you'd lose your slate pencil. But that was long ago.
Now when you say slate pencils, I've never heard that before. It was it like chalk? Or what was it like?
A little bit like chalk, yeah, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. And you could just rub it off?
Like this. It was about the, it was something like that color.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you'd have to sharpen your slate pencils. And you're made out of some kind of lead or something, I guess.
But it would rub off. Is that right?
Right on your slate. And, you'd have to, then every once in a while, you'd have to go and wash your slate off, you know,
mm-hmm.
to rewrite.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have that?
Oh, no. I don't have a thing. That's a tag. I don't have it.
Well,
but I treasured that for years.
Well, can you think of anything that I have failed to ask you that you had written down? What was some information that you thought you would tell me?
Well, I put down all them yums that I could think of. I thought you'd ask about that.
Well, what yums did you put down?
Well, I put down all that you, I told Danny Grubb that Mary.
Oh, yeah. Jim Wall was one of them.
And, another year, I began teaching. I began to go to school in 1894.
Mm-hmm.
And went on to the Rich Creek School till 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the Kentucky Normal College. I figured that out to be from 1905 to 1909. I went to the Kentucky Normal College. And,
where was your first school?
At Brushy. Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
Yes, I do.
And, Alan Grove taught Alan Grove for, started on the second year and got sick. My husband had finished it. But anyway, my first year was Brushy. My next year was, George's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Kai's station used to be?
I know where Kai's lived. Is it close there?
That's where I boarded.
Uh-huh.
Not Kai, but Kai's lived across the river. Billy Kai sent me across the river every time that I had to go across, not horseback, or buggy. And then if the river got high, Billy Kai's would send me across there. Gordon Burgess. Lizzie Burgess kept the Kai station. And that's where I boarded, Gordon Burgess's.
Mm-hmm.
And taught the George, a little log schoolhouse sitting up on the rise.
Right. Mm-hmm. How many schools, how many years did you teach?
And then I taught in 1912, where me were married, and I taught at the two-room school at Blaintown.
Mm-hmm.
We taught them. I taught the first four grades, and he taught the rest in the big room there. And then I had to retire in 1912. At the end of that, 1913, I had my son. 1916, I had La Louise. 1918, Well, now I done began teaching again. Till 1920, I had to go back to Louisiana. I rode a mule back to Louisiana to take my,
He has his name on.
Yeah.
For the certificate.
To get my certificate. And, they told me where to go. That's the livery stable. And I said, here's my horse, I've got to go. to take a school test for my certificate. And, I knew the man, he was a German, Wallace German. And, so I went, and my husband was
the examiners?
The examiners. And Doc Jordan was the other one. And they put me in my husband's room. Well, the superintendent, no, the superintendent was Doc Jordan. The man was Addison Skeens, I believe his name was. And Doc come in, he said, look here. Says, we can't allow Hattie in here in your room. She's your wife. And the lawyer said, what's the difference? Said, I've got my rules to go by. She has hers. Yeah, but says, I don't know what questions would arise.
Mm-hmm.
So, at last they sent me to the other room. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't very long that I come back to get my husband's room. But that was it. He couldn't do nothing for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now, did you take like a written test?
Yeah,
was that it?
I took a written test.
Mm-hmm.
So I could teach.
Was it hard?
You see, it went out after I taught these other skills.
Expired.
My expired, and I had to
redo.
And then I taught four more terms. I began, I think it was about 1920. I figured on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carly was about 4 or 5 years.
And then after that, you didn't teach anymore? After the 4 years?
After that, my father took sick. And I had to quit and have to take care of the home and the store mm-hmm. and the office. Well, at that time, my husband was,
board member.
Board member. Well, at that time, they said a board member couldn't be a postmaster, which was all the other mom. He could have, but he didn't. But we went along at that rate for a year or two and found out he could be, so he is put in a home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I figured in 1969, I taught, I kept the post office Allen for 27 years.
Oh, that was a long time.
Yeah. Till I was retired. Had retired 70.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else that you had written down that you hadn't told about? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a light.